Hey, what's up, folks? It's another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio with Kevin and Eric. What's going on, Kevin?
Oh, well, it is. It's another week with you because our other two compatriots are still way too tied up in their own lives to help us out.
lives are overrated. I'm glad I don't have shit going on in my life. Other than entertaining the people, entertaining the people.
Somehow I am very full of stuff to do, but somehow shoehorn this motherfucker in here.
That's good. God, I hope that's what happens this coming weekend. I might not have a life, but I hope that I have to shoehorn something in. I mentioned that on the Torch forum. Y'all can go there and read all about that if you want. God, you know, as much as we love to entertain the people, maybe we should start with something that didn't entertain one goddamn person in the entire WWE universe. Monday Night Raw this last week was B.A.D. bad, and Sergeant Slaughter being the guest host didn't help, and I don't care if it drew a 3.8 rating. That was a fluke. I fail to see how Sergeant Slaughter equals 3.8 rating, Kevin. I don't know what you think.
I think that it might just be the pure fact that a number of the summer shows that I had watched have ceased to exist now. They all had their finale, or at least a lot of them had their finales last week, so maybe people were fucking bored out of their skulls and really needed something else to watch.
That's a good point, yeah. It's
just throwing that one out there.
A lot of
I might
those,
actually get the TNA this Thursday because Burn Notice and So You Think You Can Dance are not on. So.
Ah, good call. Yeah, a lot of those, either the summer hiatus or the end of the season. Yeah, that's a good point. And Burn Notice is an awesome show, by the way. There's discussions on a couple of different message boards I'm on that talk about great TV shows. Burn Notice is one of them. My roommate just got into Mad Men, and I really need to find those online and start watching that. And there's a new zombie TV show about to start on AMC here pretty soon. I can't remember what the name of it is, but keep an eye out, because any show on regular cable about zombies is going to be fucking awesome. I never thought that, no, I guess the crowd in Calgary wasn't too bad. I was going to say WWE turned the audience into zombies. I think they turned me into a fucking zombie.
They feed Canada just table scraps, so anytime they're up there, they do. The crowd was really pretty solid. You know, I can't really, they did what they could for the shit that they were given.
Yeah. Well, it sucks when they don't have anything to really sink their teeth into, like a Hart Foundation, a Bret Hart, something like that. Sergeant Slaughter coming out and they put the Canadian flag up and then, like, real sneakily put a slash across the maple leaf. That's hacky bullshit. And then Jillian coming out to sing whatever. I mean, that's just awful. That's not good heat. That's stupidity. That's 1-2-3 kid heat.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, it's just a waste of fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, you did it once, ha-ha, that was funny. And then to do it, like, three times in the same night, because, yeah, they did the first one with the flag, then they did the Jillian Hall thing, and then they did the whole Bret Hart thing. And it's just like, oh, seriously?
I mean, this was said on the Torch message board too throughout the show. This was just like the most unimaginative Bush League sort of let's get heel heat, but not really try to think of like, you know, interesting ways to do it. Sort of writing. I think I said booking to somebody, and then I said, excuse me, this is not booking. This is not manipulating. This is just like horseshit TV writing. This is some shit that, like, a middle schooler would come up with for, like, if he had to write a play or something like that. It's just completely unimaginative writing. And it didn't get, I don't know, it wasn't good throughout the entire show. The show starts with Randy Orton in the ring. It continues with John Cena in the ring. And then Jericho and Big Show came out. like,
yeah,
okay.
That was one of two segments that I thought was were fairly solid there. I don't know. A lot of people seem to think they were hyping just for hype or something like that. And it's just like, well, you know, they're kind of building towards something. At least they're building towards something.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, honestly, as soon as I saw all four of those guys in the ring, I saw the tag team match that they announced for the following week coming a mile away, because I started thinking about, like, when Hogan and Ultimate Warrior teamed up against Mr. Perfect and the Genius, or when Savage and Warrior teamed up against the Nasty Boys leading up to their matches. I'm like, oh, my God, are we going to go down this road, too? Like, this is some Russo-esque bullshit right here. The two guys who are about to wrestle being forced into a tag team. The performances, like, okay, Cena did a good thing and a bad thing. When he said something about Shaquille O'Neal's jockstrap, that was pretty funny. I don't know if it was an ad-lib or not, but it looked like it could have been, and it was pretty funny. But then, or I guess it was before that, he said that, as John Cena said, that he was going to tear Randy Orton, I think he said, I'm going to tear your body in half. And I'm like, I know Wade has gone off on this before, and I know a lot of other people have too. Don't say you're going to kill somebody. Don't say you're going to tear someone's head off. Don't say, you know, don't be so hyperbolic about your statements. I'm going to tear your body in half. Like fucking Randy Orton has some perforated line across his waistband or something like that. This is a typical John Cena bullshit that makes me roll my eyes and think, God, yeah, no wonder kids like this guy.
Yeah, I guess I was not paying attention or something when he said that, because a lot of people have brought that up, and I guess I just kind of fucking glossed over it. But yeah, that is a fucking stupid thing to say.
I wasn't impressed. Jericho and Show were strong, though, as usual. Let's see. What else? Oh, you want the women's match wasn't too bad for having two women who are really good wrestlers, one who's trying to be in Kelly Kelly, and one who, I don't know, I think she pulled off a decent move or two, but is still green as the fucking grass outside. Alicia Fox. Sorry, Lillian. You should maybe learn people's names.
Wow, yeah, she has been Lillian has been truly awful the last couple of weeks. Like, I mean, I know that she screws up on a semi-regular basis.
Wait, if by the last couple of weeks you mean the last 10 years, then yeah.
Well, no, but she's gone from, like, once every couple of weeks to, like, three times every night. You know, I'm not even going to write in to say that, you know, she was great or anything like that. She's been pretty bad, but, I mean, it has just been downright awful recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forget, because I know that last week I remember there were, like, two flubs. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, she announced someone's name twice or weight. Like, she announced the weight, said the guy's name, and then announced his weight again right after that or something dumb like that.
That would be so fucking awesome to hear her, from Atlantic City, New Jersey, weighing 450 pounds, King Kong Bundy, weighing 450 pounds. That
yeah,
fucking
oh
great.
My God, woman, like, what the fuck?
That's
I forget
awesome.
How it happened, but yeah, whatever she did, she repeated one segment of what she was talking about. I'm like, oh my Lord.
Yeah. I'd like to see her announce a tag team at, like, a total combined weight of 237 plus 241.
Oh. Make her do the math on the card.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Get a big fucking marks a lot laundry marker in of her cue cards and, like, whatever.
She's like Ron Burgundy. She'll read anything that's on the teleprompter.
Yeah, exactly. Go fuck
your
yourself,
Lillian Garcia.
Yeah. Oh, shit. But, yeah, I don't know. It was a good Divas match. Gail Kim, I kind of like her schoolgirl look, I guess.
Well, she's just hot, period. Yeah, the pigtails help out. But no, I thought that they actually made, that everyone except for Alicia kind of came off pretty well. Kelly Kelly looked like she was, she's steadily improving. The fact that she's a fucking stick figure, while is an attractive look, does not exactly, say killer to me or anything like that. So, I mean, I always kind of will have a hard time buying into her little, her look in that department. And I even thought Beth came off looking fairly well.
Oh yeah, she had to be the ring
Yeah.
general in this match for sure, by the way. Like Powell mentioned in his write-up that Beth picked up Kelly and Gale on the same shoulder like she was going to do the Davey Boy Smith running power slam. She stood there, I swear to God, I saw three commercials for Burger King before fucking Alicia ran over and took out Beth Phoenix's knee. But Beth did what she had to do. She kind of like smarted off to the crowd and talked a little bit of shit. But that's just what happens when you're a good wrestler.
Yep, and that's what I mean. Like even though there's someone greener than green, it seemed like and if you really wanted to, like I think Gail Kim and Mickey will be good in the ring against each other, which is a plus because
Oh,
sometimes,
yeah.
well, A, we've seen enough of fucking Beth Phoenix and Mickey James, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can see them in tag matches or whatever, or interacting with each other, but I mean, we've seen that feud. And really, the women's division, the way it's set up, is you have your feud for 3 months and then you move on. So, yeah,
Yep.
I think we're done with Mickey and Beth.
So, they could, though I know that they've done it kind of a bit already with Kelly Kelly against Beth Phoenix, but it's still there. Kelly's looking better, and maybe if she works a program with Beth, she'll get even better.
Sure. Yeah, Beth can be like the Fit Finley of the women's division. That's who you put
Yeah.
the new women against so they can get better in the ring.
Exactly.
Let's see. Jack Swagger beats Evan Bourne. The announcers helpfully mentioned that this is kind of like the rubber match. I think that helped, but in a way, I kind of feel bad for Evan Bourne. I mean, he's gotten a really good push, and he's actually, for a guy his size, he's gotten the WWE push and then some. He's gotten more wins than you'd think a guy his size would get. But and they had a pretty good back and forth match, but in less than 3 minutes, Jack Swagger beats Evan Bourne again. Maybe not the best thing for Bourne, and maybe a good thing for Swagger because that proves his dominance. I don't know, something like that. What's a good rationalization for going less than 3 minutes?
Well, the rationalization is that the DX skits were so excellent that you needed to
I
keep matches short.
right, of course. That had to be it.
Yeah, I mean that had to have been their thinking. They wrote all those skits and they're like, you know what? We just don't have the time to have two good wrestlers who are still fairly young and are potentially the future of our company really wrestle any more than 2 minutes and 45 seconds or
Yeah.
3 minutes, whatever you really want to call it. I mean,
Yeah.
I think that was their thought process, really.
That must have been it. Whoever, whatever little girl they hired to play the little brat in those skits must have been somebody's daughter. They're like, we need to give her a hell of a lot of TV time and just sacrifice all the face time that Jack Swagger and Evan Bourne are gonna get. I
Yeah,
don't know.
even
I
though
just
we
think
know that they can put on an excellent, I would imagine if they gave them time that they could put on at least at the minimum a good to very good match.
Honestly, if they wanted to do the dominant Jack Swagger thing, they could have still accomplished that. They could have still portrayed him as being dominant in an 8 to 10 minute match, with Evan
Yeah.
Bourne getting plenty of good spots in and looking awesome and getting the fans behind him. There's no reason why that couldn't have happened. But no, you're right. They had to squeeze in as much DX and stupid little kid humor as possible. They did put MVP though out there. Unfortunately, who brought up Jack Swagger's lisp, which I'm getting tired of hearing about, but whatever. I guess there might still be an audience of people who don't watch ECW who didn't hear Christian saying that week after week, so you have to bring up the lisp to a whole new crowd, right? But
yeah, you know, well, I even think MVP has mentioned it already. It's just like, seriously?
Yeah, probably. I think you're right.
You know?
I don't know. And
I don't like picking on Tommy Dreamer for being fat still. It's like, seriously? We've heard this joke for long enough. Like, I don't even care who's telling it at this point. Like, you know, just really.
I'm probably going to say another one. I'll keep them to a minimum. But, yeah, what's funny is that MVP challenged Swagger to a match for later in the show. And then Jack Swagger said no. So MVP comes out for a match that he had anyway later on. It's like, I guess maybe if you're supposed to be a heroic babyface, that's one thing. But like, why would you challenge a dude to a match when you know perfectly well you've got a match later on?
Yeah, I don't know. And plus, whoever accepts a match when they've already wrestled a match, really?
Yeah. I just wrestled for 3 minutes. I don't care if it was only 3 minutes. I just wrestled a match. Let me really contemplate if I want to wrestle another one. Nope. Okay, says MVP. The guy who has a match later and wants to wrestle a match now. I'm telling you, man, they put no effort into this show.
You don't need to tell me. I know that that's the case.
And it was even more obvious by the DX skits, which started in the segment after this. Triple H doing a gay joke with some guy with a blonde wig.
Oh, yeah, and it was just like, I looked at him like, oh my God, they're not going to do this. Like, they're not going to have him mistake him for Shawn Michaels, are they? Like, that was, I'm like, that does not even look like his hair color. Like, I mean,
Yeah. Even
if he dyed it, it wouldn't look like that.
And it's not that long, and his jeans didn't look enough like mom jeans.
That, I mean,
Shawn Michaels has a mom
butt. It's not complete. His hair isn't completely straight. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
Come on, dude. Like, I mean, you don't need to be some, like, effeminate moron, you know? I mean, you know, I'm not going to go fucking, like, what the fuck was that? What the fuck was that term? Fuck. Why is this completely skipping my brain right now? Fucking A.
Tell me again.
You know, when you kind of, it's like not a manicure. Fuck. What's
anal
that?
Bleaching?
No. What is it when a guy, like, primps himself, and it was all the rage there for a while, a couple of 3-4 years ago?
Like,
you're trying
to
act like a woman.
Oh, metrosexual.
Metrosexual. Fuck, why was I completely missing that? You know, I mean, you don't even need to be, like, a metrosexual or even a gay guy. It's just like, you know, someone's haircut is just kind of, you know, the way that it is. And Shawn Michaels has had the same goddamn haircut now for, like, the past, like, 5 years. It's just like, seriously, like, you're one of your best friends wouldn't notice it.
Right, yeah. Like, Shawn, I haven't seen you in months. That sounded a lot more like Stu Hart than Triple H, sorry. You really grew your hair out. Then he guy turns around and he does the SummerSlam 91 guy in jail thing. Don't you just love the way leather feels against your body? Which I totally didn't get when I was 10 years old, but whatever. That was bad. And then Shawn Michaels is the chef because, as we all know, cafeterias are evil, or at least that's what 10-year-olds think because they hate school cafeterias and that's the crowd that they're aiming for. I guess
yeah.
is why this was supposed to be funny. Like, I don't understand why.
The only thing I could think of was that they were secretly making fun of what's his name, the Portuguese man of war there, Justin Credible.
Oh, Justin Credible for working at Olive Garden.
Yeah.
More Parmesan. More cheese on your salad. That's incredible, or whatever.
That was the only thing that I thought about. I'm like, is that why they're doing this? Are they kind of trying to stick it to Just Incredible for no fucking reason whatsoever?
Yeah, which is another shitty move on Triple H's part, considering fucking Aldo Montoya used to roll with those guys all the time.
Yeah. So maybe that really was what they were doing. So
Oh
yeah,
my
like he.
God, that's shitty. That's a good point, but that would be so shitty of those guys. Of course, that's par for the course anymore. Bunch of assholes.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He was bagging on a guy that still fucking works for the WWE, fucking on the mic.
Yeah.
No, he's hurt already, or he's injured again.
Again, yeah. Oh my God.
He always
Wow.
seems to be injured. So yeah, it wouldn't really shock me if they were making fun of poor Justin Credible there with those skits.
That's a good point.
Yep.
I tell you what, and this is something Powell said, and I'll transition into the next bit. Well, the second to next bit because the stupid Jillian Hall thing was in the middle, but Powell says, "Good Lord, was the DX skit lame? Just awful. Shawn's first appearance on Raw in months was a flop, major letdown." I agree in that the last time we saw him on TV, he had probably the fucking greatest pro wrestling match ever against The Undertaker. And this is what they do to bring him back, a stupid skit where he plays a cook in a fucking office building. Now, that then transitions into the Calgary Kid versus Eugene. What the fuck was this? Fuck Eugene and his stupid fat ass, his fucking pale body, his horrible hair, and his stupid outfit that looks like I sewed it together 2 days before the show, and his stupid gimmick, wrestling in a pole match where fucking here comes this Calgary Kid that, you know, they could have at least showed this dude walking backstage or something instead of just like springing this on us. And then the Calgary Kid wins, unmasks, and it's Miz. And then we immediately cut to the back of something else. That's just fucked up. That's fucking terrible ass, like TNA style Vince Russo booking right there. And this is Miz. Again, it's not the first time in a long time since he's been on TV, but it's the first time he was on Raw since the angle where he was banned from Raw, and this is the best they can come up with for him.
Did they? Now, I kind of fast forwarded through the whole thing because I really didn't care that much.
Yeah,
Did they actually mention that the contract was for the spot that the Miz had given, or that, because the Miz was gone and that's why there was a contract on a pole match?
no, they never mentioned the Miz, and they never mentioned why there was an open spot. They just said it was a contract on a pole match. Winner
What?
gets to be on the Raw roster.
Fucking A, why is it that hard to just say that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that hard, people.
Fucking A. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even waste my time going back to check on that. I was like, what the fuck ever? I always fast forward through the entrances, so I don't always pay attention to that kind of bullshit.
It was
Oh
bad.
my God. Yeah, and I had seen a while ago that they had re-signed Eugene, and I'm like, please tell me that they're not going to give him the same stupid fucking gimmick again.
I know,
And
like they
sure
like
enough, there he is, and I'm just like, wow, they're doing it
I've said it before.
again.
He's been off TV for years now. Cut his hair, make him go to the gym, make him cut out some fucking carbs from his diet. Get him a tan, cut, shave his facial hair, whatever, and bring him back as Nick Dinsmore or something other than Eugene, and he won't be that recognizable. It won't be that obvious to like 75% of the audience. Oh, this used to be Eugene. I mean, the way he looks now, you could completely overhaul his look and just call
Oh,
him by his
easily.
real name. And yeah, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, I've said it before too. Nick Dinsmore is a good wrestler, a really good wrestler, and he's somebody that other wrestlers would benefit from wrestling against. Not as Eugene. They're not going to learn shit from a guy who has to pretend to do the rock bottom and pretend to do the Stone Cold Stunner and pretend to Hulk up. But that's not a good use of Nick Dinsmore. And it's just a stupid wrestling character anyway. But, it's going forever.
Yeah, but really, it's not worth going on forever
No, it's
because
not.
I mean, it just is more and more how terrible Raw is, really.
And bringing Eugene back, not making a bigger deal, or at least giving us some foreshadowing as far as Miz coming back goes. Again, zero effort into this show. Big Show beats Randy Orton by count out. Randy Orton just walks away from the match.
Yep. I mean, that was kind of to be expected. They're trying to rebuild show, and you can't have Orton lose, so.
They
You
have certain purpose. Let's see.
know?
Another DX skit. La 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 la. MVP
Yep.
beats
That
Vince
was
McMahon.
one thing I did tweet. Those things were so horrendous, I couldn't stop laughing at them, actually.
I know.
That is the only thing that I will say. I will fully admit, and there might have been some other reasons why I was laughing at them, but they were truly just awful.
Yeah, they were bad. MVP beats Chris Masters, 2.5 minutes. Once again, too much time needs to be set aside for DX, not enough time for the wrestlers who need to be, whatever.
Yeah, and what's it, fucking Masters now? And I don't know how many people are. I don't pay attention to the rating for superstars, but seriously, the guy is on Raw for the first 2 weeks that he's comes back, and he's lost both matches.
Yeah. And this is a spot that some up-and-coming wrestler could have very easily taken, not some fucking douchebag from 2006.
Yeah, or I
But
mean, again, if you're gonna bring a guy back, like I don't understand, it's just like Eugene, you're just kind of fucking wasting him,
Maybe they just need warm
Either
bodies.
bring
They
him
could do
back or don't bring him back. Like I don't give a shit,
I mean, they could just be in a transition period, and they might actually be getting smart and realizing that they need to put off some of these matches for a while. So they just need some warm bodies to fill the roster space. And rather than paying, who's that guy on Tuesday on ECW, like Tim Jones or something like that, rather than just
Oh,
bringing in some pasty white
well,
jobbers, they're trying to bring in guys that kind of look like, well, fucking Eugene is a pasty white jobber. But they'll bring in a Chris Masters to lose for a couple months, and then who knows, maybe they'll let him go again once they
yeah,
finally get to point B.
there were two jobbers there on ECW, Tom James and
That's right.
Kevin Brooks.
Yeah. Oh, that Kevin Brooks dude. It was great. He gave a little sign to the camera, and then he just kind of I'm about to get my ass kicked.
Yeah, oh, I'm about to take some really, really rough bumps. I'm
Yeah.
glad the money's worth it.
Shawn Michaels, manager calls him Hickenbottom. He super kicks a little girl, which is funny. I approve of that. Of course, they can always just say that he super kicked her salad out of her hands, but whatever. And then, yeah, Shawn Michaels says he's coming back. This is no surprise because I think we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. Oh boy, DX reunion against Legacy at
Yep. Can't wait.
SummerSlam. Yeah, right.
I mean, as much as I love Shawn Michaels in the ring, this thing's just going to be a fucking train wreck.
Yep, for sure. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, we talked about that a little bit. Mark Henry, we talked about that. Oh no, well, we talked about him being terrible, but Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase beat Mark Henry and Hornswoggle.
Oh.
Whatever.
Oh, I did really fucking get a kick out of fucking Ted DiBiase just really laying back on that pin and pulling Hornswoggle's legs way
Yeah.
the fuck up. I was about in tears for that one too. I'm just like, oh my god, this is so. A, this match shouldn't be happening, or Mark Henry never should have tagged him in, but.
Yeah.
Whatever, at least I got a little bit of amusement out of this. It's better than Chavo Guerrero losing to Hornswoggle for the seventh straight week or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. Now that just it looked to me like DiBiase's dad must have instilled in him this idea that if somebody's doing a job for you, they're doing a favor for you, especially if they're not a jobber. So you should really hook the leg to make it look better that they couldn't kick out of the pin. And he took that with him all the way into a match against a midget. And I was like, well, he's doing me a favor. I better hook his leg like it's fucking, like I'm fucking drilling for oil here. That did look pretty silly.
Yeah, yeah. It was an amusing visual, but that was really about it.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Okay, two more things. Chris Jericho and Big Show get interviewed backstage, and then Jericho thinks he's not on camera and starts heeling on Calgary in Canada, which is bullshit because that's the best part about when they go to Canada is everything's all upside down and cats and dogs are living together and there's mass hysteria and the heels get cheered.
He really tried to write it the opposite way. I think that was the other thing. It's just like, just fucking get, you know, write your stories like you're going to write your stories. Don't write them like you're in a specific location.
Right. Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, in a way you can ignore where you are, but that would be a good thing because, you know, it would have been great to hear the crowd just shit on John Cena. I know that's not what WWE wants. You know, they obviously want Cena to, you know, to be cheered on live television, so he'll continue to be cheered in arenas everywhere. But again, that's the beauty of being up in Canada, is that John Cena would get booed out of the building while everyone's in love with Chris Jericho. But no, WWE can't have that. They have to try to manipulate their crowd, and they have to do so in the shittiest way possible. Just, ugh, Calgary smells like a cow pie. What? Why is that a heel comment? That's stupid.
Yeah, although that was kind of funny in the opening segment when Cena's like, yeah, Canada's so great, you had to fucking move to the U.S. and you still live there.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh, like, I don't
yeah,
know.
That really should be brought up slightly more often.
Yeah, it's just a sign of WWE trying way too hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but in general, they were just fucking, it's just like, no, just fucking let it go, and that was another one. If you don't have that segment, you know, add that extra minute to one of the fucking matches, give Evan Bourne and fucking Jack Swagger 4 minutes instead of three, at least.
Yep.
For God's sakes. I mean, there are better places to use that fucking time than to really just try and get the crowd to cheer for John Cena. Come on, guys. I mean, seriously?
If the last 5 years, how long has he been around? 7 years of work on this guy has not been enough for them to just naturally cheer John Cena, that's your fault. You just fucking roll the punches. John Cena and Chris Jericho, I don't know, a DQ, I think Cena won, Orton came down, whatever, and then Sergeant Slaughter announced.
Yeah, that was so terrible. Because Cena is looking down the ramp the whole time.
Yeah.
And then, like, Orton lines up like he's going to go for the punt kick, but, like, Cena's been looking at him for the past, like, 3 minutes already. It's like, guys.
Yep.
Just fucking stupid. I was like, wow, this is just terrible.
Oh man, I don't know. Just a poor Monday Night Raw, and I feel like I've said this about the last few Raws. Like, I don't know, it seems like every other Raw, I'm like, God, this is one of the worst. This is another one. This is simply one of the worst Raws I've ever seen. And I'm like, please give me Damian.
It certainly ranked up there.
Taker. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I mean, the two segments that I liked, like, because I thought the opening jibber jabber was fine.
Yeah.
And as soon as they said, the search for Shawn Michaels, I'm like, oh no. I mean, I knew it. As soon as that thing popped up, I'm like, we're in fucking trouble.
Yeah, time for the silly shit to commence.
Yep, I was like, wow. And then the only other thing, like I said, the only other thing that perked me up was the women's match.
Yep.
Wow, and considering that I know that they're going to fuck that up, too.
Yep.
Yeah, not really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, that's Raw in a whole bag of peanuts. Let's run through ECW and make it a real nutshell version so we can get to the other stuff on the list. Shelton Benjamin beats Zack Ryder. I love Zack Ryder. I think he's kind of in the position he needs to be in right now. Antagonist, dickhead,
yep.
douchebag, Guido Tool. But, you know, he has to lose once in a while. And I think you and I have talked
yeah.
about this before, but they're doing the Shelton Benjamin rebuild version. What'd you say? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yep. I don't know what version they're on at this point. Like, I said it earlier this year. I thought they were getting on the right track with them with the U.S. title, and they had kept them in the limelight. I think it was
yep.
the U.S. title there on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, right before he went to ECW and right at the beginning of ECW, they just decided to take a giant Cleveland steamer right on his chest.
Yep.
And it's like, wow, okay, now you're going to rebuild him. That was the only thing that I'm fine with Benjamin going over in that one, but I really wish Ryder would have, after Ryder takes fucking Christian to the limit, you
right.
know, not all that long ago, it's just like, wow, you're going to lose to Shelton Benjamin that quick? That was the only problem I had with that match.
That's a good
the
point.
The decision really wasn't the thing that irked me. It was the fucking time frame.
Good point.
Really, we could have saved the Tyler Rex against Tom Jones fucking match for some other time.
Yep. And I love Shelton. Give me Shelton as a babyface or a heel, I don't care. But I've been ready for a Christian versus Shelton Benjamin title program for a while. I don't know if I'm into a babyface versus babyface program. So I guess we'll see what happens if we ever get there, but who knows? And we'll talk about that in a second. We've got a blip on that radar. Let's see. Gregory Helms sucks. Paul Burchill sucks just a little bit less. Vladimir Kozlov beats one of those jobbers you mentioned.
Yep.
In a minute. And then Ezekiel does his thing. And then blah, 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 blah. And I really don't understand what this is going to lead to. I wouldn't mind if it led to a tag team because, I don't know, maybe some other guys can carry them, but Vladimir Kozlov is just terrible. And I'd feel bad for Zeke if Zeke was the one who had to carry Vladimir to a good match. And I dread
yeah.
the idea that it would happen at SummerSlam. I mean, that would be
I'm crazy. Only hoping that that is just like the complete burial of Kozlov, really, is that Zeke goes over on him and we're fucking finally done with that fucking Russian tool bag.
That'd be great. He can go the way of Ludwig Borga and fucking Boris Zukov. Let's see. Okay. Yo, Jesus. And of course they fucking showed some DX shit that night too, which is stupid.
I literally watched ECW in, let's see, we got two, that's four, five. Well, I didn't even watch that. That's 3, 6. Oh, and I had to watch that fucking mess at the end.
Ah.
11. Oh, okay. Yeah, I probably watched it in about 15, 20 minutes, something like that. I was right.
Oh,
depends on how long the fucking Abraham Washington segment lasted.
Oh, fuck. Well, because
I didn't watch either of the jobber matches.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 12 minutes of wrestling that I watched.
Right. Well, here's exactly 2 minutes and 13 seconds of it. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I honestly don't have a problem with Virtual, but they obviously do for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know if they just don't get it. I mean, he's a good wrestler with an international, you know, gimmick, whatever, a foreign gimmick. But whatever, if they don't like it, then they don't have to do anything with it, I suppose. But Yoshitatsu
yeah.
actually got cheered by the crowd. He got a Yoshi chant at the beginning of their 2 minute and 13 second match. But the whole point of this match was to bring back the Hurricane in the ring. Does he look out of shape or what? Like, he just looks like skinny up top and kind of pudgy in the middle. Like whenever he got that picture, I think it was about a year ago, he got that big tattoo of his stupid name across his stupid back. Like he looked like he was still kind of in shape, but I don't know, maybe it's just me, but he looks like a pudgy piece of shit right now.
Yeah, I don't know. He looked that way when he was over on SmackDown and they had him wrestle without his fucking shirt and it looked terrible.
Really? Well,
Yeah,
yeah, I don't
I
know.
mean, I don't. Your job, and I mean, this is something that, I mean, I complain about it in sports too. Your job is to fucking stay in shape.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in better shape than he is.
Yeah, they call you
And
Hurricane.
I have a real job. I
Wait,
have shit too.
let me get the whole thing out because it's funny all at once. They call you a hurricane, but you don't need to be built like Typhoon.
Oh, that's perfect.
But no, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, if somebody with a real job can still squeeze in enough gym time to look in better shape than a professional wrestler, then the professional wrestler needs to fucking do some work. Not focus so
Yeah,
much
I mean,
on quitting and fucking webcamming and fucking talking to goddamn all the divas like you're some fucking big ding king dingling. You're not fucking Batista or CM Punk, you're a little Weasley douchebag with a more of a lisp than Jack Swagger has. I should say more of a speech impediment, Mr. Votoboyko. But anyway, that's my 2 cents on stupid Hurricane.
yep.
Let's see, Tyler Rex, Jobber, blah blah blah. Abraham Washington match. Oh my God, it gets worse. His lines are terrible, but then they put laugh and applaud on the Titantron, and I know they're doing it as a rib on the whole gimmick, you know? Like they showed it for a reason. They showed it to get over the fact that
Yeah.
it's a terrible idea. We're all in on the joke.
Yeah, I thought that was the only amusing thing with that whole segment, really.
It really was.
You know, even Christian, I think he's great pretty much any time he comes on the mic. It's just like, wow.
Well, it's what he had to work with.
Yeah. You cannot bail out the Black Pearl quick enough. I mean, that thing was going down
Yep.
like the fucking Titanic.
Yep. And then Abraham Washington announces that William Regal is the number one contender for the belt. At which point William Regal comes out for his match against Tommy Dreamer. It's like, oh great, you couldn't even have that match as the as a match for the number one contender, but whatever. Regal
Yeah,
wins.
because Regal is so awesome that I can't wait to see him in another fucking match.
Now, I love the guy, and
Yeah,
I've been a fan
I
of
know.
his forever, but you know, I don't really see this as the most marquee of matchups, and I blame that on WWE for kind of wasting all of the star power potential that William Regal ever had, starting with the real man's man when he wore a hard hat and a flannel shirt up to the current day.
Yeah, that would certainly help out if they didn't completely fucking jerk him around like a masseuse at a Chinese parlor.
Get the fucking 1 hour golden shower or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's ECW very quickly. I want to see Steven Regal, William Regal versus Christian. Again, if there's any fault to be had anywhere, I blame it on WWE and certainly not on Regal because I think he's awesome. Should we get to the tidbits?
Sure, you know, we ran on way too long about Raw because of our general displeasure for it.
Yeah, that happens. That's happened quite a few times in the last month or so. We've been talking long about it because we wanted to bitch. Tidbits. Let's see. Ricky Ortiz was released. I was kind of hoping maybe they just like they looked at him. They looked at Tyler Rex and were like, well, we gotta let one of you assholes go.
Yep, Tyler Rex, he's the newest asshole, so he gets to stick around for a while.
Right, yeah.
Plus, yeah, well, Jeremy asked me why they put him on TV. I was like, well, because I can listen to surf music for a couple of minutes every week.
Right, yeah. And as you said about the picture that I put of Ricky Ortiz up on Stunt Granny, I think you said something like he looks like what, he's trying to get baked or something like that.
Yeah, his hand is like coming towards his mouth. He's kind of making a dumb face.
Yeah.
It looks like he's ready to fucking toke a joint.
Take a hit or something. I thought it looked like he was trying to fucking suck a dick, though, at like a 90-degree angle or something.
Yeah, that is certainly another possibility.
Like, you're not supposed to put it on your clavicle, you fucking weirdo. I'm also upset that my comment in the what is it called, the caption of this picture didn't get any attention. Me calling his haircut the spaffro. Whatever, fuck you people too if you don't like my hairstyle terminology. Let's see. Seth Ortiz, wish him the worst in his future endeavors. Ashley Massaro will be undergoing some sort of surgery, hopefully to eliminate her lying gland, because she's a liar, because I don't think she's really got a kid.
Yeah, it is quite suspicious that she has not mentioned her kid, and whoever signed us up for her tweeting is fucking awesome, just because I want to read that drivel, because I would not waste my time going to her MySpace page to read it.
Yeah, I give plenty of credit to Jeremy. He used to go to her MySpace all the time to keep up on this shit. But thankfully she tweets, and we can get it in little tiny, small doses. That's all she's really fucking good in, is small doses. What a horrible human being she is. But whatever. It's just my opinion. Let's see. Mr. Kennedy put out a new video, speaking of people who, well, he's not a horrible human being. He's a fine human being.
Yep.
Hilarious video, more on his, more about his workout plan.
Oh, man, that thing is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it is really sad that a guy that they canned has more entertainment value in his 2.5 minute long video.
Yep.
Then, you know, any 2.5 minutes, even the highlight 2.5 minutes of the DX fucking skit was not that good.
Yep. Agreed. 100% in agreement with you that, yeah, Kennedy has been knocking him out of the park. And, yeah, like you said, this was, quite frankly, I mean, you could probably put it up against any 2.5 minutes of the entire episode of Raw. But that's, you know, whatever. Like I said, shitty Raw. So, yeah, Kennedy, check that out. There are links everywhere. You can look it up on his YouTube channel, which I think he is Second Power, all like words, all letters, Second Power, and then the numeral 2, if I remember right. Or, you know, Powell puts the link up all the time. So check that out. You can see him lifting weights like an ass. He was like, as he was doing, finishing the dumbbell bench press, and he had his arms almost all the way up. He's like, "Yeah, see where my hands are? Boom, drop the weight." How many fucking times do we all hear that in the gym? It's like, I was trying to put a dumbbell down onto the rack, and it's one of those long racks, and there are so many weights on there, it's hard to kind of squeeze them in where they belong. Some douchebag who was bench pressing with, you know, a couple of 70-pound dumbbells just dropped them from aught high. And I noticed one of the dumbbells I tried to set down, like, clank, it kind of, like, shifted into its spot. Because the fucking guy shook the entire goddamn gym by dropping his dumbbells everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that one, I believe you had asked me what I thought about it, but that is so fucking spot on. Because
yeah.
It was even funny when he was making fun of, he goes, "Oh, yeah, all those workout magazines telling you to," well, A, he's doing all the exercises on the exercise ball. He goes, "No, this is for sissies." And I'm like, okay, that's fucking hilarious. Just because, you know, he's like, he obviously does some of that stuff at least.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, that's fucking funny.
Oh, yeah, I was just demonstrating because I wanted you to see that only sissies do this. That's great.
And then, what the fuck else? Oh, yeah, when he's going down, he goes, "No, you got to go past 90 degrees. It doesn't matter what those sissy workout magazines tell you to do."
Yeah, full range of motion. And then, like, chastising the guy for daring to breathe in and out. That shit's hilarious. Good for Mr. Kennedy. Good for him making the most of this 90-day no-compete. Fucking WWE ought to sue him for being competition as it is, being competition for our entertainment time.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
making them look terrible.
Yeah, that is really sad that a guy that they can come up with better TV than they can.
Yep, exactly. The only other tidbit that I had written down, no, two tidbits. There's going to be a special on NBC about WrestleMania 25. Sounds like it's going to be highlights of the show set to music by today's popular recording artists. That's cool for WWE. They're using the synergy of the company that owns the USA Network. They're using this NBC Universal vertical integration thing. I don't know if I use that term right. Well, anyway, to get on network television in a primetime spot. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it, but it's going to happen.
Yep. It's going to happen.
Yep, my other little tidbit is the Brian Kendrick, otherwise known as Brian Kendrick, was just added to the Dragon Gate card on September 6th in Chicago, Illinois, where I will be, and so will Jordan, Big Round Wizard, and a couple other people, and that's going to be awesome. Brian Kendrick is wrestling SEMA. Oh, my God. Worth the price of admission and then some.
Yeah, that should be a good match. I saw that. I was like, oh, fucking A. That's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah,
cool. So,
I am bummed that I cannot attend.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a great show. Stunt Granny will have all the details as it happens. Let's see. We are at our usual cutoff time. Do you want to talk about Pro Wrestling Ohio right now?
No. You know, I think we've left them with enough audio goodness. I'll throw out my other review, and I know that I've already skipped some stuff, and some of it might come out fucking better talking about it, and let's not fucking string this out. Maybe if I get adventurous, I can talk rope Jeremy into doing something over the weekend in a short manner.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah, so everyone make sure that obviously you're at Stunt Granny if you're listening to the show, but make sure you're reading up on Kevin's PWO, Pro Wrestling Ohio coverage. Their logo is awesome for what it's worth. He posted, or you posted, since you're right here, I'll talk about you, or I'll talk to the Stunt Granny universe and say he posted part one of the Wrestlution 2 recap, including what Greg the Hammer Valentine was up to, what Al Snow was up to, other names you might recognize like Irish Airborne.
The only thing I am extremely pissed about is that I got some decent pictures, but for whatever fucking reason, the memory card that I bought from Target, it is not reading on either my computer here at home, and it's not reading at the one in my office, so I can't download the pictures.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone's got a solution to that problem, let us know. Leave a comment at the end of this audio post. Maybe we can figure that out and get some pictures up.
Yeah, I have a little micro SD card, and it has an adapter that's supposed to feed in there, but every time I go to do it, it times out before I can read the card for whatever fucking reason.
Oh, shitty. Well,
yeah.
The people at Stunt Granny do actually take pictures, and Jordan and I have pictures of our escapades at the Wrestling Museum that someday I'll put up somewhere also, and hopefully we'll have some during Dragon Gate weekend, or as we like to call it, Drunken Gate, because there will be much to eat. The wine will flow like beer. But anyway, that's probably... Speaking of alcohol, it's probably a good time to sign off for the show, so stick around, look and see what Jeremy and Kevin conjure up for Pro Wrestling Ohio. And happy birthday, Hulk Hogan, yesterday. And here's where I sign off and get ready to go to bed.
Okie doke, grandkids. It's that time for the Sippy Time beer. And, I guess since I was watching Tony Bourdain in San Francisco, I will recommend an Anchor Steam beer to go to bed with. Later.